This is Carlos and the Other Phantoms, an oral notfic told to you by KLB,
Canary Pods,
Mistborn Hero,
and Rena Jenkins.
So, the general premise of this is that it is going to be a WandaVision and Julie and the Phantoms crossover. My initial idea was that when Wanda's kids disappear, for some reason, when they disappear from the Hex, they reappear as ghosts that only one or more members of Julie's family can see. And we take things from there. How are you guys feeling about that premise?
I like it.
I like it. I went and read the Young Avengers comics because I was like, I don't really know much about them, so let's do it. And it turns out that Wanda also, like, disappears them, and then they maybe possess the bodies of two guys that live in separate places and develop the powers later.
So it's not the first time Wanda's done this.
Yeah.
So there is history of Wanda, which is no surprise with her character, doing whatever she can with her power to protect her kids.
Yes.
And then them just being reborn somewhere else.
But
so this is possible.
But I think at this moment, as she's letting the Hex disappear, she's really like thinking about the harm she's done people. So she's going to do whatever she can to protect her kids, but in the way that is the least harmful to other people possible. So I think we could just sort of hand wave that for whatever reason, currently with the powers that she has, without them being inside the Hex, they can't have real corporeal bodies. That's just not something she can give them yet. But she is able to, like, allow them to be ghosts, assuming that this is a world that this is all in the same universe. So in this world, ghosts exist, as we know from from Julie and the Phantoms.
Julie.
Yeah. So and maybe somehow she tries to send them to the safest place. And there seems to be something special about Julie, right? So the safest place would be with Julie's family for a ghost to be.
Okay, so the twins are in, like, what, fifth grade, max, sixth grade?
They're 10.
So they're okay. All right, so they're still elementary school. So Carlos is, I don't remember how old Carlos is.
I kind of remember him being in middle school, but that wouldn't make him much older than 10.
So if he thinks they're in, like, fifth grade and he's in sixth grade and they run into each other, like, the skate park or whatever, where do teenage boys go these days? And he thinks they're regular people. And the boys think they're still regular people.
Aww.
They don't think they're ghosts. They think they've still got, like, this is just another development of their powers, because their powers have been slowly developing as they age. So maybe nobody realizes they're ghosts for the first couple interactions.
They would think that they were regular people. How would they know?
Yeah.
I mean, they've been alive like 4 days. There's a lot that they don't know.
It's like, yeah, this is our first time in the real world. And in the real world, you cannot touch things.
Yeah. Maybe they thought their mom, like, was using magic powers to make them be able to touch things, and everyone just, like, is like this.
They think it's Vision can, okay, Vision can do the thing where he goes through walls.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
They think it's something they got from their dad.
Yeah. Okay, so the Wikia says that Carlos is from the late 2000s, so 10 years old, more or less.
This is perfect. They're the perfect right age.
Okay, but I just want to be clear. This is like, well, I don't know. I was picturing this as post Julie and the Phantom season one canon. So he's heard of ghosts.
He's heard of ghosts.
Yeah.
But he might not have touched them, so he doesn't realize that these particular people are ghosts.
Yeah.
I don't think Carlos knows what Julie sees when she sees ghosts. Because Carlos on the picture, and it was just orbs, remember?
Right. He can't see them.
He just knows they exist.
But he, so maybe for Carlos, all he knows, thinking,
Julie sees like the floaty lights.
Yes,
most of the time
he's thinking that what Julie is hearing is regular people's voices, but what she's seeing is possibly glowy, possibly deliberately and obviously different looking than a regular person.
Yeah.
Yes.
So he thinks he'll know a ghost when he sees one. I mean,
yes. Maybe he doesn't expect them to have feet.
And feet. Okay.
Yes. That's, yeah.
I think that they don't meet at the skate park. I think that, like, they basically are zoomed into his house. So he just sees them walking around the yard, but he just assumes they're, like, new neighbors who moved in.
Oh, I like that. Yes. Okay.
Because I think Wanda would put them, you know, near a home.
Yes. Because, like, part of it, it does seem like her... it's her doing like her almost like penance a little bit. Let me undo the thing that I did and make it better for the people that I like superimposed my will on. But also how much of her personality in relation to her kids is really about keeping them safe. If she's influencing how the hex ends, she may not have deliberately picked this specific family, but maybe like something like the power of family.
I think, you know? So too. She thought of family and safety, and like the most family and safety place was Julie's
and then
family.
The spell filled in the rest.
Yeah.
The spell filled in the rest.
So how do they find out? What's the scene in which the three boys find out that two of them are ghosts?
Oh gosh. Okay. I think it would be hilarious if all three of them are like, well, they've got powers. Mutants have powers. Supers have powers. Like, there's all sorts. So they're all thinking deliberately. Like, they're all refusing to think that these kids are ghosts. And somebody else from outside the situation has to point it out.
Julie just comes up after band practice, like, who are you talking to?
Yes.
And they just all look at each other like, whoa.
Can... the band see the twins?
The band can see the twins, I think, but Julie can't. I like that.
Oh, that's great. And that ties back in, too, with, like, maybe her mom is the connection to the boys, and then, like, Carlos has some sort of connection to the twins, and... Well,
and I feel like if the mom had some, if the mom in some way did send the band to Julie, the mom would be like, but my little boy, he's feeling left out, you know, and would try to bring him friends too.
Oh, Wanda, your little boys need friends? They can come to mine?
Yeah, it's just like sort of just like this like exchange of feelings, but that's basically what it would boil down to.
Oh, that's so sweet. And I love it.
So, all right. So there, one day, Carlos is hanging out with these new neighbors and they're all just, I don't know. I assume they're going to be playing some sort of game or something. You're clearly not talking about their lives much or they would have figured it out.
But it's a no contact game.
No contact
game. They figured out that they can't touch each other.
Right. So it can't be any sport. What would they be playing? Not I Spy. That's a little babyish. What would they play?
Pokemon Go.
Yes.
Can you play Pokemon Go without touching stuff?
Carlos has his phone and he's walking around looking for something.
And they're like cheering him on, looking over his shoulder.
Yes. Yes. What you got? What you got? Very being real team supportive as he tries to flick the Pokeball and continues to be frustrated as he misses.
Totally. And they would be really helpful, I think.
Yes.
Because they could use their powers to be like, yeah, like in 4 seconds, flick over that way. So they would be like really having a good time helping each other out. Then Julie comes by and is like, who are you talking to? And then what do? They're all staring at each other.
Or does Carlos have Bluetooth headphones in? He has his ear pods in. And she thinks he's talking to someone on the phone. So we get this comedy of errors for several interactions
right.
Where nobody realizes.
Anyway, he finally figures
a conversation.
He finally figures it out, and he zooms the phone around to turn it on them, and he sees the little white ghost fragments. Yeah, he sees the orbs.
Yes.
Or, like, I don't know if he would just see them through the camera like that, but he, like, zooms it around and, like, quickly takes a picture or a screenshot or whatever while Pokemon Go is still up. And he these orbs with, like, some Charizard, like, in the background walking around behind them.
Oh, that's even cuter. So say if it was an electric one and it looked like interference or something, someone's like, how'd you get that cool effect in the VR? It's like, yeah, we just staged this.
Anyway, I feel like once he figures out that they are his ghosts, he has ghost friends now, he, like, runs off to his room and makes them, like, show me everything you can do. So they show him all their powers, and he thinks those are just things that ghosts can do, like that every ghost has super speed and can read minds and stuff.
Would Carlos be able to make them materialize like Julie with her songs?
How would he? That's a great question.
Like, obviously the first thing he tests, like, sing with me.
Right, and not for sure nothing happens when they sing together. What would be the shared group activity that would like hold that magic for them?
Wait, what if their visibility thing was pranks?
Pranks! That's it. You're genius. Yes. When they do pranks, but it's not that they become visible. He becomes invisible with them when they do a prank.
Yes.
Instead of singing, making the ghosts visible, pranks make Carlos invisible for a while, but it also makes the ghosts, like, stronger when they do it. It makes them be able to, like, be a little bit more tangible, and they start being able to touch stuff when they want to more, like the band members.
Which Sunset Curve member is going to teach the boys how to be ghosts? And why is it Reggie?
I want it to be Alex because he would be so proud by showing them how to touch things.
Oh, he would. Alex would be trying so hard to, like, move a pen or like lift a pillow, and then the boys are like, here we go, bucket of glitter on the doorframe.
I think all three of the boys, once they have all discovered, all three of the Sunset Curve band members, once they have discovered Tommy and Billy, are really excited to mentor them. And then once again, Tommy and Billy are like, who have no idea of, like, what is, again, have lived for, like, you know, a few days since they were born.
And they were living in very particular genre TV.
Right. Yeah. So they're just like, oh, cool. And then they, like, you know, and then whichever one of them has super speed, like, dashes around and does something like 100 times. And the Sunset Curve boys are just like, we can do that. That's a ghost power. And they're, like, flinging themselves at the walls, trying to get the super speed to kick in for them. And it does not.
And it does not.
So tell me about some of the pranks that that Carlos and Tommy and Billy are going to play.
Well,
I think some of them start very practical joke, kind of like testing the boundaries of what they can do together. Like, it's not going to be super elaborate at first. They're not going to, like, the first thing they do together, they don't realize what they're doing.
Yes. Okay, so I have an idea. So the first time the prank thing happens, Tommy and Billy come with Carlos to school. Just like they've got nothing else to do, what's school? So they come along to find out. And while they're at school, like, someone has some idea about some kind of prank they can play on their teacher. Like, you know, go look behind the teacher's shoulder and, like, find the answer to number 4. And come tell it to me, and I'll write it in, like, the exact same words, like, that she wrote it in, and really freak her out. Something like that. And it becomes clear to them halfway through that Carlos has become invisible. And he's able to, like, do something a little bit bigger, like, I don't know, move the pencil case, something not huge. But that's when they start to put together the pieces. And then once they figure it out, they immediately do it on Julie.
I could see them. Like, as she's doing her homework or something, they keep, like, scooching something off the edge of her desk. Like, she's reaching for her mouse, and then when she takes her hand away, they scooch it over a little bit, and then when she has to keep reaching and leaning, and she's not sure what's happening here. Because it's, like, just little bits enough until suddenly she's...
on the other side of the desk.
This is not where my body thought things were.
Do you think they were, like, unknowingly or even knowingly cross paths with Caleb Covington?
We know that he can do magic. He is a ghost. Caleb can do magic.
Yes.
So that's not good. Because he has probably had more than 4 days to learn how to do magic.
Do you think he has runes? Do you think he's the only one who can do magic inside the club? I mean, we're just assuming that they're in the same world, so that the runes rule would be
the
true
rule
in there.
Works. Yeah. Right.
But I think he's living in a world where he's pretty much the only one doing magic, so I'm not sure he would have runes put up yet.
I agree. I think he's too smug. I think he hasn't prepared for someone else to do magic because he thinks he's so cool and special. And so I think that the mind reading twin, who I believe is Billy, will just like get weird vibes from him immediately and be like, nope, and steer them right out. And I don't think they'll get into much trouble in there.
What if Caleb's the part of the reason why the spell dumped them in California like that? Because Wanda left it sort of open-ended, send my boys someplace safe and loved, and the spell latched onto the next nearest magical power that she wasn't, like, actively fighting at the time.
Okay, yeah. And then the spell realized, oh no, Caleb is not actually safe, but there's this girl over here who is.
Right, who has, like, some kind of magic thing going on that's not, like,
as big of a power, like, sink.
Right. It's not as, like, noticeable, but it exists and would redirect to her, well, to her family.
So because I'm thinking sort of, like, long-term, because the post-credit scene, right, where Wanda's, like, astral projecting and trying to learn more magic, eventually she's going to try and find her kids. And if she's just sort of trying to recreate what the initial spell did, she's going to end up at the Hollywood Ghost Club. And that's going to be her starting point to find her boys without knowing that the spell was sort of hijacked or diverted the path got slightly rewritten.
Well, now you got me feeling sorry for Caleb.
But doesn't the Ghost Club move around?
Oh.
Can we backtrack for a second? When she hears the boys, they're like, mom, mom, help us. So we have to figure out how they got into some situation where they needed their mom's help. Let's assume it doesn't have to be something too intense, but they got themselves into some kind of scrape where they need her.
I mean, Tommy could be impulsive enough to, like, get the stamp before Billy gets him out, but also I don't want that to happen.
What if they're just like, I want burgers? It's not even like they're trying to do problem, like, get into shenanigans. They're just, they want food. They want snacks.
They need food. They are staring with Luke into the fridge.
Yeah.
And mom! Wasting their electricity.
Mom, help! I can't decide which snack is best.
Either that or... So ghosts don't really sleep, but they're not the same
really
kind of
ghosts.
Right. So what if it's like she's picking up on their nightmares when they're phasing in and out? Carlos doesn't see them the whole time, right? So if they're not directly in Carlos's line of, attention or whatever, right? And eventually they, I don't know, find a a treehouse in somebody's backyard, and they decide that they're going camping and they go to sleep, and then they have nightmares of what happened in Westview, and that's what she's picking up because
Ouch. It's like mom help, because they're worried about their mom.
Yeah Ouch. So it's not that they're actively in danger, but maybe she's only getting a little glimpse of it because she hasn't quite figured out the whole, like, how to track and trace where I sent these children, how to use sort of the rest of her powers in a way that can find them. So she's only picking up, like, the strongest, loudest, you know, the emotions. Really bad nightmare. But she's not getting the part where, you know, my brother wakes me up and he gives me a hug and Carlos gives us warm milk and we're, like, at the holding things but not quite drinking things stage. Aww. So, like, she's not seeing the part where they get comforted.
We just put the warm milk against our cheek to comfort us. We just give the warm milk
it's
a good snuggle.
It's a warm cup of tea and the smell is enough.
Yeah, the warm tea. Mm. I love that, and also have another possibility that I'm just going to float. Mm-hmm. I'll be possibility number three. So even though Caleb, we don't necessarily want him to, like, directly cause harm to these babies, we know that Caleb is actively going after Sunset Curve.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm not sure Carlos hangs out with Julie enough that Carlos's ghost friends would necessarily pick up on Nick being possessed by Caleb and any, like, danger that was going on to Sunset Curve in time to stop it. So maybe things escalate. Caleb does whatever his plan is and Sunset Curve ends up in, like, danger. And Julie calls on Carlos and the ghosts to help her because the ghosts are in serious danger. And so Tommy and Billy come, they see what's going on. And they haven't tried this before because they just kind of feel like their mom sent them to where she needed them to be right now. But the only thing they can think of left to do in that moment is to call on the most powerful person that they know. Like, the person that they feel, the one person they feel like in the world has always been able to, like, help them and solve their problems. So they call for mom and she comes.
Okay. I like also the idea that, like, Sunset Curve is the damsel in distress of this.
Oh, for sure.
They're like, oh yeah, I'm 16, I'm 17, I'm so much older than you. Because you absolutely know for, like, a minute or two, all three of those boys were like, we're not babysitting you, but we're definitely in charge of you.
Yes.
You know? Like, I'm not responsible for you, but you still have to do what I say. And then suddenly, part of the scenario of rescuing, one of the twins is like, I'm not responsible for you, but if you want to get out of here, you have to do what I say. And he says it right back at them. And Luke's face is just like, I am eating my words, and they taste like gym socks. I like this idea, too, of, like, finally, we're, like, the boys, when Wanda and Vision are fighting against Agatha and Cataract, right? And then you've got all of the sword people being like, oh, and Wanda's like, boys, take care of the army. Like, they play a prank on them. We steal your hat, we steal your ability to move, and we steal your sunglasses. But they're still not major players compared to the whole everything else that's going down, right? So I do think it would be sort of a little bit of a confidence boost for all three of the boys to be like, yes, we are in fact, you know, we're the protagonist of this moment. We're the Hardy Boys here. And just sort of talking that around a little bit. So maybe what started this whole thing off was the boys of Sunset Curve thinking, we're going to mount a rescue mission of Alex's boyfriend. Julie, come with us so you can do the magical healing hugs. And Julie's like, I don't entirely know what I'm doing. But Luke gives her the puppy dog eyes, and Reggie looks very, you know, Reggie. And Alex has been sitting sadly behind his drum kit for 45 minutes barely tapping out, like, you know, barely tapping his hi-hat, being very sad, and yes, okay, fine, she caves, we have to go rescue. And when they go to rescue Willy, it doesn't work.
Yes, and so it's not that Willy is involved in another plan, kind of like he was last time. He doesn't even know, but they're going to Caleb. They're going to Caleb, be like, tell us where Willy is. Hoping that once they get the information, Julie can just hug Willy and it'll be done with. But Caleb does no such thing, or is like, I'll tell you if you just do this little thing for me first, and is able to ensnare them in whatever.
Willy, they're just on a hunt for Willy, and they just go to the HGC, and Luke just storms up in front of Caleb, trying to look his best to be all, like, intimidating, and he's like, where is Alex's boyfriend?
And Caleb not even registering as a threat.
It's like, where, it's that guy over there, I think? Assuming that it's Reggie. Like, because I'm not sure that Caleb has been paying enough attention to know who Alex is.
That makes it funnier, kind of, because he's so much, like, into his own, here are my plots and plans, that, like...
Right, that hasn't been essential to his plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everybody is very offended that he didn't know. Like, that's... Reggie and Alex are just like, that's not our vibe at all.
And, like, it's canon that Luke and Alex dated, so... There's a whole bunch of evidence for running canon, but I'm not going to rant about that today.
Yes, and Caleb just skips completely over Alex and Luke and goes straight to the one relationship that might have been.
So Luke gets offended too, and he's like, that is our vibe. What's with him? And everyone's very upset at the same time. And that's actually the moment that Caleb takes advantage of to, like, do whatever plot. I don't think he can stamp them again, because he's able to do whatever plot he is able to do, because they're all, like, so offended at Caleb's horrific read of their interpersonal connections.
It was accidental, even. He didn't even mean to.
Right. That wasn't, like, his plot. He just, like, sincerely doesn't pay attention to that kind of thing.
So is it, like, Julie is waiting outside the ghost club for them to give her the signal, and then when they don't, that's when she goes home and grabs her brother? Or is it, like, while he's distracted by the rest of the... While Caleb is distracted by the band, she hightails it out of there. And then, for some reason, because he's still incorporeal, he can't directly affect her from leaving. Because both of those, I think, could be funny.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, I missed the, like, if the signal was, like, make a noise of wildlife, like a pigeon, and nothing happens.
Maybe, like, Julie just, like, waits for the ghost boys to come out, because she's like, come on, I've got to get home at, like, 8. And then, like, Nick is just right weirdly out there. Because it's Nick.
I feel bad for Nick. He doesn't seem like he wants to be possessed.
No, he doesn't.
And he's just randomly out there. And he's just like, hey, Julie, why are we here?
Yeah, I think maybe the kindest version to Nick is he gets possessed and then unpossessed periodically. So he just shows up places and he doesn't know how he got there. And this is one of those times. But yeah, I think maybe, I don't think Julie trusts Caleb and Sunset Curve Boys alone after last time. So she's maybe peeking around a corner somehow, or yeah, they've got some kind of signal. And she, the second the signal doesn't happen, she knows she's out of there.
And then the other thing that could just be, like, I don't know if this builds the tension of, like, the rescue mission, but, like, Julie is 16. She's old enough to sort of, you know, get on a public bus and go into downtown on your own, right? Carlos is not. It's not like he can just, I mean, I guess theoretically he could be like, I'm going to call an Uber.
Okay. So Julie smartly does not run all the way home to Carlos. She runs safety and she calls Carlos. Carlos has to get on a public bus. But cannot, until the only way to do it is for him and the boy, him and Tommy and Billy, to prank the whole time so that he can stay invisible while he's on the bus so that nobody catches him and tells him to get off the bus. So they have to just nonstop think of these like tiny pranks. He just has to constantly be like giving people noogies or like wet willies or like, I don't know, untying someone's shoelaces. And he's just like, sorry, sorry, sorry the whole time to all these poor innocent people who are having very minor pranks done to them because he can't become visible and risk, you know, being slowed down on his way to help his sister and her band.
Oh, that's good.
I was just going to say them all doing the trench coat thing you see in movies, sneaking onto the bus, but it's probably way better.
I mean, they could be in a trench coat as backup, you know, just in case they become visible. They'll have like 5 seconds to run out of there, but that's not their preferred outcome.
He doesn't become visible until like 10 seconds before his final bus stop. And the driver is like, what the hell? And you were not sitting there a minute ago.
And he just like,
I totally was.
He just like hurls the trench coat in the direction that he wants the driver to look, sort of like out the window opposite of the door. And then he like runs out the door while the driver's eyes follow the trench coat. Did it.
Oh, one of the twins can take the coat to the side.
Yes.
So that it moves by itself.
Yeah, and does a little like coat dance with it. And the driver gets distracted enough that Carlos gets off.
I really like the idea of, because like Carlos, he's smart and like he's willing to also, like, we've seen as he's trying to figure out like who the ghosts are, right? That he's willing to look beyond sort of your here's the first answer, right? So do we play to Carlos and the twins' strengths of rescuing the guys, or do we just play to, like, Julie distract him and you guys pull him out, or are we going to do something slightly more actively pranky?
Carlos for sure gets to be the hero. Like, Carlos and Tommy and Billy all get their moment of not being the side characters in this moment, but being, like, the protagonist who is rushing in to save the day. So,
Carlos has several packets of iodized salt in his pocket. And it works this time.
Okay, so he pretends. So, Tommy has super speed. Caleb would never expect someone to have super speed. Why would someone have super speed? He doesn't know this. So, Carlos is like, this is iodized salt from iodized by the iodization wizards of Mount Vermargriong, and it can make ghosts disappear. And he flicks a little bit of it at Tommy, and Tommy uses super speed to disappear, and it looks like Tommy has vanished. And so Caleb believes in it, that this is, you know, it's more likely than a ghost randomly having super speed.
Totally.
And then, so is Billy doing, like, are we doing his powers as, like, he's got magic and hex bolts and stuff like Wanda? Or are we doing his powers like he has telepathy? Because if he's got telepathy, because like we know that he picks up on stuff, but they haven't like fully, and we know he can freeze people, right?
Yeah.
But like if they decide to sort of lean into the telepathy of it, he is the one that's communicating between everybody who's stuck in a closet someplace and Julie who's over here trying to coordinate a rescue. Yes. And he's the one doing, he's the guy in the chair.
He's just, he's just running comms. Ah.
But that would be cute. But wouldn't he also try to use his mind, semi-mind control telepathy on Caleb?
I kind of want Billy to have seen what his mom went through. I feel like these boys pay more attention to their mom than to anybody or anything in the whole world. Again, their 10 years of life happened in 4 days in a world created by their mother. And like, she's just absolutely like, you know, even more than most kids who like have seen like the ups and downs of their mom. Like they had 4 days, and I think they just completely adore their mother and pay like lean on her every word. Mm-hmm. And I think they just really like learned everything they could from her because of the way they feel about her. So I think because of that, Billy would not use mind control powers on Caleb, even if he could, because I think he's maybe decided that seeing what that did to his mom, that his mom thought that was so wrong of her in the end that she even let herself lose them temporarily in order to fix it. He would just like have learned the lesson that like that's not something that is ever on the table. So I think he could use telepathy, but not mind control.
So, and maybe that's part of like, that's somebody's suggestion. Why don't you take over Caleb's body and make him, undo the lock or whatever the ghost lock is that's holding the boys where they can't get out. And he's like,
no,
this is where I'm drawing my line.
And I think maybe while he's at it, he does something that basically makes Nick, I don't know, some like little rune on like Nick's shirt or whatever, so that next time Caleb tries to possess Nick, it's going to like be extremely painful and he will never try it again.
Yeah, it's gonna bounce him.
What if poor little Nick has been doing his own investigation this whole time, trying to put the pieces together, and he's finally tracked it down?
Oh, yes.
He's on to something, and he comes to this location. Like, he's finally, he doesn't know exactly what's going on, but he knows, like, this location is important. So he, like, peeks his head in right in the middle of this dramatic climax, where they're trying to free Sunset Curve, and Caleb is, you know, being held back only because of his fear of Carlos's magic salt. And it's all very, very tense. And then Nick peeks in his head. And sort of throws a wrench in everything.
Oh. Because I want them to get the band out. I don't want it to be
Well, they can't get the band out till they call their mom. Right? If that's what makes them call Wanda, they can't do it.
This has to fail because they have to call Wanda. Yeah.
So maybe Nick pokes his head in. Caleb is like, I can't deal with this right now. I'm just going to possess Nick and keep like doing what I'm doing. And maybe that would make him immune from the salt anyway, so he's like, ha ha ha, yes. But Billy has already made it so, like, Caleb will bounce off Nick and is like, ow! And Nick is still kind of baffled about what's going on. He's just really trying to detective as hard as his little brain can detective. But there's, like, a lot of information to absorb, and fully half of the players are invisible to him.
Nick is thinking it's like a boxcar children's story. And everyone else here is like, nope, we're going to Blair Witch it.
Like, Nick just sees Julie and Carlos in a room and is like, hey, guys, you look a little tense, but could you maybe tell me, like, what's special about this space? And meanwhile, everything is falling apart around him. He has no idea. But he will never be possessed again because Billy did save him.
Yay. Okay, so I was thinking about where Ray is this whole time, and then I thought it would be really funny if he can see Vision.
I was wondering that. Yes. So what if
but
Ray
he has no idea about the ghost, so he doesn't know to look with his kids.
His new library buddy, Vision, he just keeps going to the library to like have philosophical discussions with this weirdly soothing library buddy. He's dressed in this weird costume, but he figures it's just some sort of, you know, everyone has their thing.
He's an Avengers fanboy.
Yeah.
And, like, if they're in California, then a couple years ago, like, Ant-Man did just go down up the coast.
Or yeah.
Down the coast, whatever town Ant-Man took place in California.
San Francisco.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah, not L.A. A water one. Geography is not my strong suit, I'm sorry.
I just remembered, because when I was thinking about doing a Marvel Julie and the Phantoms crossover, I was like, what city was Ant-Man in? And it wasn't LA.
So, like, maybe Ray just thinks, like, Vision is on downtime between missions.
Yeah. And he mentions that he's looking for his wife, so...
So is it...
So they have a lot to talk about. Is it the magic
vision that... Is it magic vision that Wanda created, or is it Cataract who is regaining his memories of being Vision, trying to become Vision again?
That's such a good question. I was
thinking magic vision, but the other one's fine too.
I don't know which way makes it. I want to say which way makes it more hurtful, but this is not a hurtful story. This is a fun story.
This isn't Star Wars, Rena. Leave Star Wars behind.
You can't hurt us here. We have ghosts. We look at death and go, nope, they're still here.
So when I think about Rey and Vision, what I think about is that Rey is like really doing a lot the best he can, but he's clearly dealing with so much grief. I mean, it's been a year or something, and he and his kids are still setting the place at the table for his wife every night, you know? Mm-hmm. And Vision has dealt so much. Like, Magic Vision was, like, invented to try to
out
help.
Of grief.
Out of grief. Yeah. And and all he has ever wanted since he realized very recently, like, right near the end, he kind of realized who he was and what his story was. All he has wanted is to help Wanda with that grief. He didn't know that she was grieving for most of the time, because he didn't know that he had died. Mm-hmm. And he didn't remember any of her backstory, because he didn't remember his backstory. And it's not like she was talking about it. So, like, he just had found out, had this, like, huge urge to help her, but had to be sent away because the hex had to be closed. And so I think the two of them coming together can really... It's, like, really fortuitous for both of them, because they can kind of work through their things in a really helpful to each other way.
Because Vision didn't really get to work through his own grief either. You sort of see him looking, like, nonplussed when Darcy says, yeah, she killed you, but you told her to, and all the ways that things keep getting worse. And, like, part of it is... I feel for Wanda because I love her and I don't want her to be in pain, but also, like, sort of dealing with his own mortality and this idea that there's another version of him out there who might, like even if he never really takes a minute to sort of work through and internalize this, like, I have things to grieve for my own self as well, because they have the big showdown in the town square at that time.
And wouldn't he have more things to grieve now because he also thinks he lost his sons?
Yeah.
Poor Vision. He needs hugs.
Well, guess who's gonna give him hugs?
His sons!
Well, I was thinking Ray first, and then his sons.
Yeah. Eventually. I was looking at the end point.
Right. Yes. So I think these two plots are running parallel. Ray just has this, like, wonderful new friend. And are we saying that they're, like, friends? Or are we saying that, like, Vision shows up in this world, like, as a therapist? And Ray has decided to seek therapy. And, like,
or do they meet in a support group that's meeting in one of the library conference rooms?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Vision... I'm so proud of Vision for going to seek out a support group. He doesn't know what's going on. He's just become a ghost in this different place. The first thing he does is look up a support group.
Yes.
For his own
self.
And
I feel like Ray's been going already because he even had Julie in therapy for a while.
Yeah, I like that. So they meet at the support group.
And maybe it starts off being like... Maybe it starts off being sort of like we're chit-chatting over the coffee afterwards, but we're not, like, you know, spending a lot of time. But then it grows to be, you know, we're going out for, like, gonna go find another couple chairs in one of the resource rooms, and we're going for another 2 hours after support group ends, and we're hanging out together, and we're developing, like, these connections right here, right?
Yeah.
Because Ray has been such a strong support for Julie and Carlos, and I really like this idea that, like, he's reaching out for connection too. Yeah. And there's also sort of that I don't know how much of it is like implied and how much of it is just like fan theory, but the split between like Julie and Carrie, right? They were best friends, and Carrie's dad and Julie's mom knew each other like this idea that maybe they were family friends, but Ray isn't hanging out with him anymore.
Because he sided with Julie over that breakup because he knew he needed to be there for Julie in that moment.
Right. So like Ray is losing an adult friend too. That like it sounds like their families have history together. They were really close for a while. So Ray being able to build this friendship up like as an adult and like here we have a starting point that's maybe not great, but here's ways that we can find outside of that immediate sphere of sadness, I think is really sweet friendship.
I love that too, because in family shows, like where the parents aren't the main characters, mm-hmm. it's pretty easy for the parents to not get like their own story, you know, their own relationships. And I just really love Ray and Carlos getting to have a little bit more of their own story in our not fic.
Yes. So back at the Ghost Club, we've got Nick accidentally botching the rescue, or mm-hmm. accidentally, not necessarily botching the rescue, but throwing a wrench in the works so the rescue doesn't go off. And mm-hmm. the twins get out, and that's when they call their mom, but it takes a minute for her to teleport to them? Or is it like after they've gone home and have to rethink their first battle plan, and then that night, like, she hears them crying for her in their sleep or something? Because I feel like Wanda's going to show up where the boys are before she's going to show up where Vision is. Because she doesn't know. I don't think Wanda's... I think her thought process, she saw Vision disintegrate. She's not looking for him the way she's looking for the boys.
I don't even know if she was looking for the boys before she heard them. I'm not sure. I think she maybe thought that someday they would find each other again, but didn't know that they were like actively somewhere else existing. Right now. Yeah, that they were existing.
So she's taking her self-care cabin of isolation. And as she starts learning more, that's when she can hear them.
I think when they call for her. So I think it is in that moment of tension. Like when they're in the middle of the rescue and things are getting really, really scary. And, you know, Caleb, like, is 1 second away from, like, you know, I don't know. Destroying one of the members of Sunset Curve forever or something like that.
Absorbing their power to the club.
Yeah, I like the idea of can he somehow absorb their ghost energy and just use it to fuel the club and make them just like pop out of existence because he's sucked up all their energy? That feels very Caleb.
That feels very Caleb. And that explains why he's got such a big support cast, right? Why he's got so many people in the band and so many staff and dancers and stuff. Because the more people he has to, like, basically use as external batteries.
Yeah, and I think that's why he's going after these people in particular. Because he feels that they're super powerful. So they'll be, like, really, really high voltage batteries for him. And so, like, I'm picturing the visual effects that would happen in Julie and the Phantoms for this. So, like, you're seeing, like, them sort of having the, like, blurring and having, like, some visible energy, like, sucked out of them in this sort of, like, horror show kind, this, like, cartoony horror show kind of way. It's, like, a very scary for the boys
and
who are
flickering.
There moment, not scary for the viewer who's watching.
And one of
home.
The boys is probably flickering in and out.
Yeah, the Sunset Curve boys.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
or maybe Willie's flickering.
Oh. Oh, is he pulling from Willie first because he's still got a stamp on Willie?
Yeah. And because the boys care about him, so it would hurt them.
Maybe he's even saying, I will destroy Willie unless you let me put a stamp on you. and the boys are like about to. And then at that point, Billy knows, because he can tell from Caleb's thoughts, once Caleb gets a stamp on them, he's just going to destroy all of them anyway.
Yes.
So they start screaming for their mom. Like, there's no, it's too late to plan anything else. They start screaming for their mom. And I think, let's just assume it doesn't take Wanda time. Like, once she hooks onto them, let's assume she can get there in, like, 3 seconds.
She's discovered teleporting, not just flying. Now she has discovered teleporting.
I mean, she can do a lot of things that seem a lot more power intensive. She's shown herself to do a lot of things that are a lot harder than teleporting herself to where her kids are when they're in trouble. I mean, she created them out of nothing. I think she can teleport to them.
Yeah.
Or does she
astral project?
She astral projects, maybe, so she's not actually
so
there.
So she's the ghost version. It seems like she functions
they're
as a ghost.
They're all ghosts.
Right.
It's a family of ghosts.
Right, it's like
though.
An old ghost family. But her body is like back in the cabin, but she's astrally projected there.
Yes, that's how she gets there so quickly.
Mm-hmm. So then does she just like lay the smack down on Caleb, or does she grab her boys and hustle them out of there, and then they have to be like, no, we're not done rescuing people yet.
Yes, and that then... one. She's like, wait, I did the rescue. No. Wrong rescue.
There's more. We are not the damsels in distress. They are.
And I feel like Wanda, she's still, I mean, look, she's been really working on her meditation. But like, when she has big feelings, like, seeing her kids in danger and calling for help, I feel like she will pull out. Basically what I'm saying is she sees that Caleb is the one who's hurting her boys, and she sucks all of the power that was fueling the club back out of the club into the people it belongs to. And like, you know, Caleb is left as with like nothing. He can do no magic left because he was only using that.
Because she knows how to do that now. She practiced on Agatha.
Yes.
And then, meanwhile, Julie eventually does give Willie a hug and does the power of friendship to unstamp him. But also, like, they get everybody out of the club, and Julie's like a little bit, wait, there's an adult here now? I was not planning for adult supervision.
And I think Julie's sad too, because like these boys called for their mom and got their mom back, and you know, it's like Julie wants her mom back, and she can't just do that.
It's an unequivocal your mom is listening, whereas Julie is only sort of getting
hints. signs
and flowers.
Yeah.
Aww.
And I don't think she makes it, you know, a thing for them, but I think that's something that she and the band are going to process later. They'll probably write some songs about they'll write a number of songs based on the things that they went through this day. Yeah. And they'll be amazing. So I love the music on this show.
Oh, and at the end of this, Julie's mom, Ghost, was bringing Ray through signs, and he's coming with Vision. So there's going to be a reunion.
Oh, I like that.
Do you think he knows that there are signs from her? Like, he just is seeing, like, random things that she likes, and he's just, like, he really, truly believes that she's out there watching him somehow, so he's just started trusting. In fact, maybe signs brought him to that particular support group in the first place. Like, maybe he just really, really trusts that
she's
out there. And so whenever he sees something and he's like, that's her favorite color, and he notices, he just turns down the street and walks in that direction if there's nothing else to do. And so I just like the idea of him having, like, that amount of faith in her, you know?
Yes. Oh,
that's wonderful. Because he does still talk to her, you know?
Because I think it would be hard for her to do something that was like so overt, but if he's just like very, very tuned in, and so she can be subtle, she would be able to like lead him to different places, because he's like very, very willing as a participant in that conversation.
And Vision's right there helping him look for them because he's like, yeah, I sometimes feel like she's giving me signs with the flowers.
Yeah, and Vision like encourages him to be like, you know, whether she is or not, like, it doesn't hurt to like...
to look for it.
To like tune in to like honor her in that way, you know?
Yeah.
To look for her out there. Yeah. And so I think Rose was trying to get Vision there in time to help, but didn't quite make it. So Ray and Vision show up like outside. They sort of cross paths like 2 minutes after
yes.
Wanda and the kids have come out of the situation.
They are reunited, and then Vision comes in.
And then everyone gets hugs.
But then also, last second before the screen cuts to credits, somebody has to explain to Ray that ghosts are real.
Oh, yeah. This whole time, he was talking to Vision about how his kids have all these new friends that they won't let him talk to.
And now Carlos has some friends who I'm sure he said are like internet friends.
Kids from down the block or something. Yeah. Oh, geez. So Vision and Wanda and the boys are doing a big happy family hug. So then does that mean that
And then Ray goes to like pat Vision, his friend Vision, like on the back, like good for you. And his hand goes right through all of them. I'm just going to assume that as soon as Wanda gets there, everyone can see all the ghosts to make it so that the reveal happens then energy. And not like 5 minutes earlier when he, you know.
Sees his kid standing in the middle of the sidewalk, no one else there.
Yeah, or like, you know, yeah. when Vision is hugging an invisible person. So like as soon as Wanda appears, like she makes all the ghosts visible to all the Julie's family.
Maybe she gets to use the residual energy from Caleb's glove and puts it into them because not all of it could go to where it should belong.
Oh, I love that. Some of the ghosts that it came from have crossed over, so they don't need that energy back. And maybe she'd even be able to use that energy to make them take their, like, physical form again. But it's going to take some time for it to work, so we still get that great moment where Ray goes to pat his friend on the back and his arm goes through the whole family.
Wanda has to recalculate her energy divisions because he needs a lot more.
Yeah.
So wait, Wanda made all the ghosts visible, right? So do you think Carlos would be able to see the Sunset Curve boys? And he's just like, wait, what?
Oh, that'd be so funny. Because, like, Julie can see the boys in the band. But now that Wanda's sort of redistributed the energy, that's when Carlos can see the boys. And that's when maybe we don't notice right away. Like, maybe we notice because of that the boys in the band are visible, right? Maybe we notice because of, like, visual cues of Carlos's face being like, wait, what? Like, he's going on a face journey. And then we cut to Ray about to pat his friend on the shoulder. And that's, like, put those two things together. And as the audience, we figure out exactly what's happened.
It would also be the first time Julie looks at the twins.
Yeah.
Before this, Carlos becomes invisible when they prank together. They never become visible.
That's right. That's right.
Wait. Everybody's visible now. And, like, what if Wanda's just, like, talking to Vision and Billy and Ray and stuff? And out of the corner of his eye, Ray just sees Julie and Luke just, like, cuddling and being really close together. And he's like, wait, Julie? And, like, Nick is just like, wait, what? Because Nick never realizes anything. And then Luke is just in his head, like, please get me out. Please get me out of here. Please get me out of here. I don't want to be attacked by Julie's dad. That's if they can touch. Because none of them know any better right now. Also, Carrie theory. Carrie Wilson. Probably off just, like, trying to get Nick back. Or just, like, so confused to like everything going on, just like in her own little world.
Nick keeps showing up to her house, like looking for clues because he's been having his own. And she's just like, Nick, stop. It's not going to happen. And he's like, no, that's not what this is about. I need to sniff all of the things in your fridge. I think this might be a clue. Like, fine. She leaves the door open for him and goes back to doing her nails.
Yes.
So a couple of things. First of all, I don't think that Wanda gets to make Sunset Curve have physical form again, just her family. I think Julie has to be the one to like be, if that journey happens, I think it has to continue happening through Julie. Yeah. So
the power belongs to Julie.
There may be, they'll stay visible to Julie's whole family from now on, but not to like everybody in the world. I just want to like let them keep having their journey. And thing number two.
It's the power of the hugs.
Yeah, it is. She just has to hug them enough. And thing number two, and Wanda gets her family back in physical form and they all get to go off together and like have more than 4 days together. And it's awesome. But Carlos has definitely taught them enough about like cell phones and the internet. And well, I guess they already knew some stuff about cell phones and the internet, actually. Anyway, they're able to stay in touch, closely in touch. But they literally are his friends from far away now because they go back with their mom. But before we leave this, can we find a place for Flynn to have at least a cameo in this?
Is Flynn the post-credits scene?
Okay. I love that there's a post, even though this has mostly been in Julie in the Phantom's world, there should be a post-credits scene. All right.
So Flynn is in a coffee shop. And it's a Starbucks, and she's waiting for her order, and a girl in a purple tracksuit and sunglasses walks up behind her and puts in an order, and her name is Kate.
Yes.
And are we assuming that she is a ghost that only Flynn can see?
Oh, she could be a girl. Girl Hawkeye could also be a ghost, but I was thinking in terms of like Flynn is helping start the Young Avengers.
Oh, okay. Okay. I did know who Kate Bishop was. I just was wondering if like we were continuing with the theme of everybody getting their own personal ghost.
I'm not sure who could be Flynn's ghost. She should get her own.
Okay, so then fine. It's not Kate. Or is Flynn's ghost America? Because America can walk through like portals and stuff. And America walks through a portal into Flynn's room because she's having trouble steering. And Flynn thinks she's a ghost. And Flynn's like, yes, ghost of my own.
But it's even better than having a ghost. It's having a superhero.
And then cut to black. Billy and Tommy and America, you'll be seeing them again in Young Avengers.
Okay, did we do really everything cute. We want to do?
We figured out how the boys got there. We gave them an arc to have adventures with Carlos. We had some rescuing of damsels. The only thing we don't have is a musical number.
Ooh, wait, before our musical number, final credit scene. Or earlier credit scene.
Mid-credit scene, post-credit scene?
Final post, but not the last one, because it's not that exciting. But one of the post-credit scenes. Carlos and Tommy and Billy are texting each other. And they somehow do like a long-distance prank. They decide they're going to play a long-distance prank. And Carlos flashes invisible again. So that power still works, even long distance.
Oh. Oh, that's great.
Okay. You want a song?
I feel like we did not get a musical number for this episode.
Well, it's because Julie and the Phantoms are on the side having problems.
Yeah, I think whenever we walk into a room where Julie and the Phantoms are, we get like one line of a song. You know, like when they're side characters, you don't hear their whole song. You just hear like, you know? And then we went to the couch. And that's like, oh, hi. Oh, hi, Carlos. What's going on? You know, and so we never hear like the big, you know, we never hear
it's
a whole
It's just very,
number.
Very unconnected lines, but they sound yeah. the same song.
So let's all give a snippet of music that Julie, I mean, that Carlos and Tommy and Billy would walk in and hear, like different ones. I did mine.
They're songwriting and they're still trying to work on the bridge. And at some point, avocados! Can't make it work. There's not enough syllables.
Avocado, yo, 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 yo. Let's just put a different lyric there.
The only thing I can think of is the Miraculous Ladybug soundtrack where it's like, the power of love will make.
Yeah. I have a secret.
What if during the final battle, the boys were giving a musical play-by-play, like, it's a final battle.
Oh, during the final battle, they're just background singing.
Yeah, no, the house band, like, manifests around them under Caleb's power, because Caleb is dramatic in that way, and they're all doing that.
Yes. There's the magical number and the fight.
Should we root for the guy who almost kills us? Or should we root for this unidentified lady?
Kind of rooting for the random lady. Our boss is a dick.
Kick his ass, lady. She's gonna kick his butt. And Reggie just goes, and maybe we'll get hugs. And they're all just like, Reggie, no. But I like hugs. Oh, wait, something's happening, guys. Come on, keep singing.
Now we're free.
Drum solo.
And of course, it's like a mirror to how Alex was sad and mopey behind his drum kit at the start of this rescue mission. He has reached emotional happiness.
Oh, wait. Okay, another post-credit scene. Where you see all the former house band members, like, what are they doing with their ghost lives now that they're free? And they're just, like, all taking naps. Like, they're so exhausted from having to sing and dance and play all this time. They're just, like, sprawled all across this house on, like, couches and floors and stuff, like, happily snoring, taking a well-deserved nap.
The end.